This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change. Without passion and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Well, well, well. You just can't tell.
No, you can't. You can't tell we're not in the same room together.
I am joined in studio. Or are you joined in studio?
Well, we're in a kitchen, aren't we?
Well,
it's a kitchen studio.
Hey, don't tell anybody.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
Well,
we're in a studio.
Can you believe it?
We're together.
Together. This is something that Juice was never able to accomplish, and he was only like an hour and a half away, and I live 3.5 hours away, and I was able to accomplish it. So there you have it.
Yeah. You know, Juice just celebrated his wedding anniversary this past week, and so we congratulate him. And I don't know if you knew the big news, but Juice is going to be an assistant baseball coach now at the new high school in Cache Valley,
which is in
Logan, Utah. So
I'm proud of him.
He will all be moving back to Cache Valley, and then you're still away.
Still far, far away.
Tell us exactly where you're at.
San Pete,
San
Utah.
Pete?
Currently residing in Manti.
Manti.
Some people who aren't from the area would call it Manti.
I know. Isn't that great?
So, you know, I got to tell you something. I said to the locals don't like it, but I say, you know, so now that we bought a house in there, I says, does that make us man tights?
Yeah.
They don't think that's very funny.
And then I've done the same thing when I was working in a town called Paris, Tennessee, which is in northwestern Tennessee. I said, are we parasites? And then in near Logan, there's a little community called Nibley, and I call them Niblets, and they didn't like that at all. So, yeah. But anyway, hey, we're here talking professional wrestling on Turnbuckle Trash. We'd like to excuse Juice. The beginning of the college football season has just got him swamped with everything going on with his current job that he is working at 1280 The Zone in Salt Lake City. And he is working hard at that, and he does a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff there. So we'll excuse him today. We'll get him on as soon as we possibly can. So
good for him.
Yeah. Well
boy, I'll tell you what. It's sure been a wild, wild week in wrestling, hasn't it?
Oh, man, it has been crazy the last couple of weeks.
Crazy, actually. Few weeks, hasn't it?
It has been. There's just been all kinds of really strange things happening in the world of wrestling, including this whole thing with happened in Triple A in Mexico, their big promotion there, with Sexy Star and Rosemary, who's with Impact Wrestling. Now, I watched Sexy Star in Lucha Underground, and I watched Rosemary on Impact, and to hear what happened at Triple A promotion in their big event. Remember last year when Martin was involved with the tag team? It's that same event. It's kind of like their version of WrestleMania. Evidently, there was a four-way title match. Sexy Star was involved, and I can't remember who the other four-way of competitors were. But Sexy Star, for some reason, started doing a shoot. That's where they're actually trying to injure each other. And she had a problem in the ring with one of the other competitors. And then she got Rosemary into an arm bar and started cranking on it for real, injuring her arm. And the internet just went crazy with that because it was a shoot. It wasn't part of the act. Rosemary even started getting involved with it. She tweeted out, she said, and I'm just going to say this, this might... this part isn't completely safe for work, she said in a statement. Let me make this perfectly clear. If you take liberties with somebody's body when they're giving it to you and trusting you to keep them safe, You are not tough. You are an asshole and don't belong in the business.
Ouch.
Yeah. And I mean, there have been wrestlers all over the world tweeting and Facebooking about this. This has been unreal.
So did they, has the formal investigation been launched to figure out why she did it?
Well, right after the event, Vampiro, who was involved with AAA and also Lucha Underground, he took Sexy Star backstage and made her apologize. Now, when you make somebody apologize, is it sincere? Sexy Star has come out and said, yeah, she is sorry about the situation, but there's never been any real explanation about why it happened. But Sexy Star, who earlier this year was rumored to be ready to leave professional wrestling to become a woman boxer or MMA fighter, I don't know. It's just a strange situation. But you know when I do, these guys and these ladies, when they put their bodies on the line, and they have to trust who's across the ring from them.
Well, yeah, we've talked to multiple people, you know, local competitors, and they've talked about how important that was. You know, a friend of the show, Super Destroyer, you know, took a move wrong and almost ended his career.
Right. He broke his neck. Yeah. Actually, he was forced to semi-retire for several years, and then he's back to performing now a little bit.
But he has to be very careful. Very,
there are certain moves he cannot do anymore and all that. So, and he immediately, when he was basically out of the woods, he immediately took to Facebook and said, and I can't remember the competitor he was against, he said it was not his fault. He took the blame himself because a lot of people were blaming the other guy in the ring. And Super D is a class individual and a local competitor, but I've also found out Super D's been, he's wrestled all over the West. And so hopefully we'll get back him on with the show with us.
So, hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
a lot. That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No, no, no. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
The greatest wrestler in the history of wrestling? He was so good that he wore an outfit with the words fair play written across it. Like, I'm so good, I don't even need to cheat to beat you. It's kind of my idol.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
I sentenced them to deletion.
Depends over to diapers.
Delete, 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 delete,
so,
delete,
the big delete, event, delete, I know we're a little delete, late. Big event was, big pay-per-view was last Sunday. Okay. SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam. The official road to WrestleMania, correct?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of,
yeah,
kind right?
of. It's like the end of the summer. That's their, it's their second biggest pay-per-view of the year in WWE.
So, before we get into the ins and outs, tell me, if I were just to say one thing, Dave, that stuck out to SummerSlam, what would it be?
Inconsistency.
Interesting.
Inconsistency. What would you say?
You know, I was going to say, like, some good, some bad. And so that sounds...
That's kind of
inconsistent. So, well, let's go. Go ahead. Go for it.
Well, one of the first problems that happened in SummerSlam was the very first match in their 2-hour pre-show. hours of pre-show, 4 hours pay-per-view. Give me a break. It's too long. Anyway, they started off with Jason Jordan, supposedly Kurt Angle's kid, along with the Hardy Boys against The Miz and The Miztourage. Well, they opened up the gates at the Barclays Center just 30 minutes before the match was supposed to begin. But security measures, as we all know, take a long time. Mm. So there was hardly anybody in the arena when this match took place. And evidently all six were ticked off backstage. Mm. And if you watch Monday Night Raw the next night, The Miz just went off on the microphone talking about being placed in the opening match when nobody was there, why he wasn't part of the main event of SummerSlam. And, and he just went off in kind of a shoot, but a promo. They kind of took the tried to make the best of a bad situation, but he got to shoot on that. He was really upset about it.
Hmm. So what was the final result?
Well, let's see. It was The Miz getting the win over Jason Jordan. Corey Graves said, The Miz now holds a victory over Kurt Angle's baby boy. But the match wasn't that good. You could tell the guys were saying, oh, man.
Hmm.
And in the pre-show, they had Tozawa against that was against Neville. So on the previous Monday Night Raw, you got one open now, and that's not a beer.
That's
guys.
Not a Stone Cold Steve
that's
Austin.
That's not a Steve Weiser. That is a Peach Fresca he just opened up. Yeah, you know, hey, we're in the middle of Mormon country.
Dave has crackers on his. In his kitchen, so they're too hard to resist.
And there's also bubbles. So if you want to drink some bubbles, go right ahead.
No thanks.
Anyway, Tozawa, who had won the Cruiserweight title the Monday night before, took on Neville, and then Neville beats him. I don't understand why they had Tozawa.
Hey, dude, you know what I was thinking about the Cruiserweights?
What's that?
You know who'd make a great Cruiserweight? Because then we'd never see him.
Who's that?
Shinsuke.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Because then we'd never, we would never have to see him.
I would rather watch Tozawa than Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, I like Tozawa. I like some of the people in New Japan, but I'm just not into Nakamura like everybody else is. So, but anyway, Neville won by pinfall. Blah 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 blah. But you know, on 205 Live now, you know who's back on 205 Live? Enzo Amore. They had to do something with Enzo because Big Cass was injured in the match on Monday Night Raw. He actually injured his knee falling out of the ring and had to have surgery. So they made a big deal about Enzo just barely making the 205 weight. And now he's doing a program. And I don't know if he won the championship belt or not. I have no desire to watch 205. I don't have time to watch 205 Live.
Well, so, I don't know what good it does to even have the Cruiserweight title if they're going to put it on its own program.
Yeah, why not just have it a part of Monday Night Raw? Make Monday Night Raw stronger, I think.
Yeah, they cut out, you know, 15 minutes of promos and stupid advertisements and commercials of their own product?
Yes.
I mean, that's what I don't get. It's like, okay, great. If you're going to have something that pays the bills, cut to a commercial. But when you cut to a commercial about your own stuff.
That brings up another point that I think you and I might have talked about. But on SmackDown Live,
they cost you $12.
Have you noticed right in the middle of the action, they go to a commercial break that lasts for 2 minutes while they're doing a split screen with the commercial on one side with the audio of the commercial. And then they're showing the action from the ring live. At the same time, they do it once per hour. And I don't know if it's the WWE doing that or if it's USA Network doing that, but I refuse to watch it. I fast forward through it every time.
Wow.
It just makes me angry. Anyway, the tag team titles for SmackDown, Usos against The New Day.
You know, that was actually a pretty entertaining match.
It was.
I was really surprised how well they did. The New Day, that is.
Yeah. Those two teams, though, they have a great chemistry between each other. And you and I both, you know, we're kind of tired of the New Day shtick, but I think this is kind of added to what they're doing.
Yeah. And when the Usos first came out with their, you know, like, what would you say, their regular stigma or whatever, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be stupid. But they do pretty good. They make pretty good bad guys.
Oh, they did. Yeah. So the Usos, they're doing this this thing now, and I'm enjoying what the work that they're doing. The John Cena Baron Corbin match. I got to ask you about that one because you're not as big a Baron Corbin fan as I am.
Well, of course, heaven forbid Cena put younger talent over.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but I disagree with you.
Okay, go.
Okay, because on SmackDown Live, when he comes out, this is the week before the match. The week before, he had just put Shinsuke Nakamura over because he lost to Nakamura for the chance Nakamura to go against Jinder Mahal at the SummerSlam. But during his promo, he also put Baron Corbin over. Why they had Cena beat Corbin, and then also with that that briefcase that he lost the week before, something behind the scenes had to happen.
So tell me what happened with the Money in the Bank.
Let's see, it was Shinsuke take on Jinder, and Baron Corbin came out after Nakamura had put the knee to Jinder Mahal, cashed in his Money in the Bank, but he still lost it. So he's no longer Mr. Money in the Bank.
You know, and I don't know. It doesn't bother me that much. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah. Then Naomi and Natalya for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I got to be surprised because Naomi lost the belt to Natalya.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed Natty's new hairstyle?
Mm-hmm.
With the little cat ears that she has.
I guess I didn't really pay that much attention to it.
She is a cat person. Matter of fact, her cat has been part of the storyline on the Total Divas show.
Oh,
it has its own Instagram account and Twitter. And that's why she's doing that. But Natty makes a great heel and a good champion, I think. So
yeah, it'll be good. It was a decent match.
Yeah.
I can't really say anything that stuck out to me in the match.
It was a fun match to watch, though. Good storytelling, so congratulations to Natty.
And then, okay, the next match.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
You don't get it at all?
Tell me, I just don't, what was the purpose of the shark cage?
A way to get Enzo Amore's microphone involved. I mean, the crowd reacts to Enzo. You know, he's got the good talk. He's just not a big guy. And
so, after all said and done, I did think it was pretty funny when he oils himself up and squeezes out of the cage. I was like, oh, here we go. This is turning to be pretty entertaining. But then he jumps down and Big Cass hits him with a big boot and it was over.
Why couldn't he have jumped down, maybe have Cass catch him somehow, either on the back or when Cass was trying to do a pin and have him. I mean, it was just like as soon as he hit the floor, he was out, and then I didn't understand that part either. Yeah. But the way he was running his mouth in the cage, and you could hear it fairly well, and then when he greased himself up and squeezed through the bars, I did kind of enjoy that one.
Dude, Big Show's getting up there, but he can still move pretty good.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what.
That's a good match. I mean, those two big guys. Sometimes I really like those matches like that. You know, they're a little bit slower paced, and so you can really see the power in those competitors, you know, somebody like the Big Show, when you can see him, the way he moves, you know, for a big guy, and you can really see when he choke slams somebody or when he hits him with that right hand or, you know, I mean.
Well, with the Show with that that wrapping around his hand when he was injured.
Because they slammed his hand in the shark cage.
Yeah. So
the club involved with that?
They came out with Big Cass on Monday Night Raw, and they helped Cass with the shark cage and held Big Show down while they slammed him.
Is this going to be another faction or something?
Nope. It was just a one-time thing. Okay. Then they didn't even have him involved at all in SummerSlam. But Enzo, like we said, is now on to 205 Live because of the injury by Big Cass. I think it's just nothing but trying to get some of those fans that really like Enzo's mic work to go over to 205 Live.
It won't happen.
I don't think so either.
No, it won't.
But anyway, Maury did say, I am the Al Capone of this microphone. I like that part.
He is pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. Rusev and Randy Orton. What'd you think?
It was stupid. It was completely...
That was the inconsistency of it.
It was completely uninteresting. I mean, for Randy Orton to go, I don't know what they're doing with Rusev. And what are they going to do with somebody like Orton now that, I mean, he's gone for the title, the last three times?
Uh-huh.
So what's next for somebody like him?
Yeah, I didn't understand if they were going to have Rusev attack Orton at the beginning, like he attacked him before the bell, and then to have the match end so quick when it became official, I didn't comprehend. Now, internet rumors, once again, internet, you know, if it's on the internet, you got to believe it, right? Bonjour, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There were rumors going for a couple of weeks that Rusev wasn't happy and neither was Lana happy about their roles. They both denied it. And then they have this 10-second match. I don't know what they're going to do with them. I understand why they did it. And, you know, it was supposed to be, you know, the RKO out of nowhere. That's what they're trying to push.
And how the RKO just puts them out of their misery.
Right. And I didn't mind the match. I didn't mind the ending, but I didn't understand it. That makes sense?
Would you call it the RKO out of nowhere or the Diamond Cutter out of nowhere?
I would call it the Diamond Cutter. Yeah. Thank you, DDP. Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks for the Raw Women's Title.
I
got to get your opinion before I do this.
So I see in Dave's printed us out some notes to follow since we're so professional here.
We're professional here.
I see Dave put down second favorite match of the night, and it's funny because I was going to agree with you on that.
Wow.
I was going to text you last night or the other night and tell you that the Fatal 4-Way and the Women's Championship
were
my favorite matches.
They were awesome. Both of them were.
Did you see, and I don't know why she has never done this before. Maybe she hasn't. I just haven't paid attention. Alexa Bliss, the way she was moving, like I remember one segment where she did something off the turnbuckle and then she did like some kind of a handspring and then she did a backwards flip and splashed onto her.
Yeah.
And I was like, where did that come from?
Yeah, I've seen her do that a couple of times. And that's a great
very
move.
Athletic yeah. move. My goodness.
And, you know, they call her 5 feet of dynamite. Yeah. And I think she is awesome. And the chemistry that she and Sasha Banks have is really good in the ring, although, you know, once again, internet rumors is that the two don't really get along very well backstage. I don't know how much truth that is. You know, what you read on the internet, you always take with a grain of salt because you just don't know. But evidently, there has been a little heat backstage. But man, what a match. High spots for both. I thought my favorite part, I wrote this down here, when Banks yanks open the ring skirt, Alexa Bliss getting the ring skirt out, and Alexa Bliss actually, no, it was the opposite way around, wasn't it? Bliss pulls out the ring skirt, and Banks falls in and just completely messed up the move. And I thought she had really hurt herself because she fell hard, Sasha Banks did. But she did win. She got the women's title, which she lost the next Monday night.
Hmm. What would your nephew Chris say?
He'd say, that's your change? That's changing your diapers into depends.
Or would he say, why are they playing hot potato with the women's title?
Hot potato with the women's title. I don't understand that. Although, the storyline was that Sasha Banks had never defended her title successfully. And then they continued that with Little Miss Bliss winning the title. Hmm. Yeah. So, then in the battle of the creepy entrances with Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor, I love the Demon Balor entrance. I love it.
Yeah.
And I love Bray Wyatt's entrance. But they took forever. I meant to watch it again and put a stopwatch to it, and I forgot to. I thought between the two of them, there's probably 15 minutes of the entrance right there. But yeah, they're both very impressive with the fireflies and then Balor with that makeup he puts all over him, slithering all over the ring and the lights. And I just love that entrance. I really do. So, yeah.
What was your opinion on the match itself?
they let both of them have high spots. I was kind of surprised once again with Bray Wyatt being beat again at a pay-per-view.
You know, it's funny. I thought the same thing. I was like, well, there they go, pushing Bray Wyatt back down the ladder again.
I know. I just don't understand that.
Build him up, push him down. Build him up, yep, push him down.
So
sounds like Dolph Ziggler, too.
Ooh, there's some news about Dolph Ziggler we can talk about later. So, tag teams with the reuniting Shield.
And this was probably one of my favorite matches of the night.
Really?
Yeah. Go ahead. You.
Sheamus and Cesaro, the tag champs, against Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, the reuniting Shield. I enjoyed the match myself. I thought it was pretty good.
Seth Rollins, if it wasn't for his looking like the red Mighty Morphin Power Ranger, you know, he sure got some pretty good ring skills,
yes,
man.
He does. Yeah.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings. I know that a lot of people have gotten injured in the ring with him, I guess we don't need to go into that.
Right.
But I don't know. Showed a lot of pretty good stuff. But I mean, all four competitors were just on their A game.
You got four pros in there. You really
absolutely
do.
You know, and Cesaro, there is no reason why Cesaro should not be the WWE champion right now.
He's one of my favorites. I like him in the tag team situation, but as a singles competitor, he needs a push.
Him and Sheamus, this was a really good tag team. You know, it started out as kind of a joke, and then it turned in, the crowd really responded to them. Remember when he'd throw his hands up and he'd cheer, and then they'd boo Sheamus. But it turned into a really, really good tag. But now that it's over, I mean...
And did you see that Cesaro knows how to get heat from the crowd?
Mm-hmm.
When he went into the stands
and
grabbed that beach ball that they were passing around, and the fans were kind of looking around watching the beach ball instead of watching the match, and he tore that thing up, I thought I was going to lose it. I was wondering,
camera pans over, and I was like, what's he doing out there?
Right.
He grabs that beach ball.
And there were some signs on the next Monday Night Raw talking about, we want the beach ball, we want the beach ball. As somebody started passing around, and then that was on Monday Night Raw, and they're actually a security guard stopped that one. But really, with the winners of the Shield, I thought it was good. I liked it, a very good match. I would, put it a B plus, but not a great match. I did like it a lot, though.
Yeah, it did seem, not the match itself, but the story leading up to the match seemed a little bit forced.
Uh-huh.
I mean, here you got Ambrose and Rollins just conveniently the week before SummerSlam teaming up. I mean, what is going to happen? Is Ambrose going to turn on Rollins? I mean, it's just leading up to another Shield 2.0 turn or whatever.
So, it'll work for a while, and then they'll have to do something else. And that's what the wrestling is all about,
I guess.
That's all it is. Then the AJ Styles-Kevin Owens match with Shane McMahon as the guest referee. Have you ever seen a man sweat more than Shane McMahon?
That's so funny, dude. I was like, he is the ref, and he is out there just...
He was pouring sweat.
Yeah.
He's a sweat hog. That's what
did
he
you
is.
See,
Mr.
Did you hear? Did you hear Owens when he's like, he was yelling at Shane. He says, you can jump off the top of a building, but you can't even count to three.
That's one thing I love about Owens is his in-ring, when he has such a booming voice anyway, and he finds a way to get his voice on the microphone somehow where he's talking to the official or talking to the other. Just talking trash, and some of his stuff is just extremely entertaining. So, I thoroughly enjoyed the match once again. I think it's a great setup for the Owens and Shawn fight that's coming up soon.
So, what was your thoughts on what are your thoughts on AJ Styles being the United States champion? Would you say that's a step down or step up or step in the right direction?
I think it's a step in the right direction for him because now he's more of a face.
Okay.
They had to find a way to get him to become more of a face, and this was a great step for him to do that and bring him back the open challenge that John Cena started. It's a way for him to do that. And did you see the SmackDown Live when AJ took on KO again because Owens was complaining about wanting this rematch and he wanted his own official, and they brought out Baron Corbin, and he said that was going to be his official was Baron Corbin, and it was a great way to get Corbin a little bit more screen time. And Shane McMahon actually took over as referee after Corbin did the heel ref thing, you know?
Yeah.
And he took over as a referee. It was just a way to advance the storyline, because you're going to see soon they're going to announce it's going to be Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon, at one of these pay-per-views. I don't know if it's the next one or if it's going to be – they're going to build this up for one of the bigger pay-per-views later down the road. So kind of fun stuff. So, and then – excuse me while I yawn – the worst match of the night, and it's a championship match.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Jinder Mahal, Shinsuke Nakamura.
You know, is it just brutal? You know, I was really excited for the Jinder Mahal thing. I was like, you know, give somebody a chance to. It's well past due for a title to change hands, I think.
And they're working to get it to Shinsuke. That's what they're working towards, maybe the next pay-per-view.
Well, rumor on the street was he's not very happy with his role.
Yeah, I've heard that too. So, but I just thought the match itself was a bore fest.
It is stupid. He can't do anything but kick and punch.
Yeah.
All he does is kick and punch and kick and punch and kick and punch.
Yeah. And that's the strong style, the Japanese strong style, as they talk about it. Mm-hmm. I just thought the match could have been booked a whole lot better. Jinder Mahal won it, and then on SmackDown Live they had the Singh brothers against Shinsuke, and it was a squash. I don't like it.
It makes me think about the different. You know, we've talked on the program about the different styles of wrestling. You know, with the luchador style. You know, the flips and the, and then the Japanese style with the kicks and the punches and. Here's my thought on that is I think if there's one person that has all styles is AJ Styles.
He's styling. He's not profiling, but he is styling. So, yeah.
What AJ is Styles. His new model is not the phenomenal one, or is it the unbeatable one or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. But, yeah, I've been an AJ Styles fan for years and years and years. And then I think both of us just absolutely loved the Fatal 4-Way, Brock Lesnar versus Samoa Joe versus Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. What a heck of a match. It was fantastic.
What would good old JR call that?
A slobber knocker.
Looks like we're going to have ourselves a good old-fashioned barn burner tonight.
Yeah, it was incredible from start to finish. Physical. And but, Braun Strowman is incredible.
You know, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, wow, it's nice that Brock Lesnar is actually going to compete in a match. But here he leaves for 15 minutes and leaves the other three out there to, you know, carry on the match for a while. I thought that was a little bit...
Yeah, but, when Strowman threw Brock into the table and then dumped the other table on top of him, I said, you know he's going to be coming back. They always do that. But Strowman is beyond strong. I mean, this man is just beyond strong. And I didn't mind the end of it. The whole match, though, all four got to have their high spots. All four got to show that they are legitimate stars. There was great storytelling. Samoa Joe, I would love to see the belt put on Samoa Joe. Just love it.
If there's one guy that... deserves it. It's him. You know, he has paid his dues.
I think it's, I just thought it was, probably one of the favorite matches I've seen this year.
I'm going to go off my, typical self here.
Okay.
Or typical rhetoric, but Roman Reigns did a pretty good job.
Yes, he did.
He really, I still know that he can't talk worth a darn on the mic, but if he would just shut up and not say anything on the mic, and just work the heel character, you know.
He's one that needs somebody like a...
like a Paul Heyman type of...
Or a manager or a mouthpiece to be with him and have him maybe become a... kind of like Kevin Nash did when he came in with Shawn Michaels as kind of the bodyguard type situation. Yeah. Have him stand by, having the other guy do most of the talking and have him, you know, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, he did. The one highlight that I thought was really showed his athleticism was he was trying to pin Braun Strowman. Strowman pushes him, and he lands on his feet. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, being rolled off, he landed on his feet. That was pretty cool.
That was a really good match. I mean, you could tell those guys were pretty well gassed by the end of that. I mean, they were going and nonstop. And it was nice to see Braun Strowman when he got hit in the face with the steel steps.
And it cut open right above his ear and all that. Yeah.
Yep.
And it was Brock Lesnar winning with an F5 on Roman Reigns. And I have no complaints, except like you, when Brock Lesnar was taken out on the card, I said, yeah, he's coming back. You know, now I said, at that point, I said, yeah, he's going to win. That's what I said to myself watching the match. Yeah. But I had no problem with it.
But what, so is he, I mean, he's not going to re-sign, is he?
I don't know. I really don't know what his plans are. I haven't heard anything. You know, he was, the part of the thing was if he loses that he's going to quit the WWE, and so was Heyman. Right. And I thought maybe there for a little bit that was a way for them to get back into the UFC. But I don't know if he wants to go back to UFC. I really don't.
I don't think Dana White will take him back.
I don't think so either. But it was that competitor in the UFC that won the match that called him out. Mm-hmm. And now he's been suspended because of PEDs too. So So anyway, overall, SummerSlam, pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I would definitely say it was kind of like a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, you know? A little inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Match of the night was the Fatal 4-Way. The most disappointing match to me was the WWE Championship with Jinder Mahal and Nakamura. I thought was just, I mean, I was going, come on, get this thing over with. Luckily, it wasn't that long. So, Hey, we're going to come right back, and we're going to talk some news, and something I'm going to tell you that you don't know yet, I don't think,
okay,
about one of our friends of the program.
Are you pregnant?
I look it. But anyway, we'll talk more about that after we take this break on Turnbuckle Trash.
Did you ever think that maybe there's more to life than being really, really ridiculously good-looking?
Coming up on Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the news and rumors that are going on in the world of professional wrestling. Coming up in Turnbuckle Trash.